waited, and after a few seconds, she heard a whisper.
I think he's dead.
The main door of the 1940s apartment building was ajar when the squad car arrived. The number of bicycles parked outside bore witness to the fact that this was student housing, one of the buildings that had recently been converted to meet the increasing demand from the capital's academic institutions. The two police officers went up a flight of stairs and down a long corridor with a dozen or so doors on either side. They glanced into the shared kitchen, where a pile of dirty dishes filled the sink. A handwritten note had been stuck on one of the cupboard doors. "Clean up after yourself. Your mommy doesn't live here." There was a carelessly knotted garbage bag lying in one corner. Judging by the smell, it had been there for quite some time. No one was around. At the far end of the corridor, one of the doors was wide open. Outside, an ashen-faced young woman was sitting on the floor with her back to the wall. She wore jeans and black sneakers, and her thick, dark red sweater seemed too big for her thin body.
"Amanda Greenforce," said the officer.
"Yes."
A tear-stained face turned up toward her. The officer crouched down and gently laid her hand on the young woman's arm.
"How are you doing?"
"He's in there."
She pointed with a shaky right hand.
"Hanging from the light fixture."
They followed the movement with their eyes. The sun broke through the clouds, and in the sudden brightness flooding through the window, they could see tiny dancing dust motes forming a shimmering halo around the body suspended from the ceiling. The drooping head and the angle of the neck confirmed what they already suspected. Marcus Nielsen was dead. Chapter 2. He was running across the dark, uneven ice just off the Sondheim shore, and he could hear it cracking beneath his feet. Then the water swallowed him, and he felt as if his fingers and toes were being devoured by the cold. The icy seawater forced the air out of his lungs and sucked the oxygen from his blood. Soon he would drown in the deep channel. No one would come to his rescue because no one knew he was out on the ice. He wept. He didn't want to die. Not like this, all alone, without the chance to say goodbye. The water drove the cold into his body and drained his strength, and he bitterly regretted all the things he hadn't said and done. How was he supposed to know that the clock was ticking? As he rapidly lost feeling in his limbs, he realized that his heart was slowing, that he was on the verge of losing consciousness. Soon a false warmth would spread through his veins. He would give in, and everything would be over. But he didn't want to die. Not now. Not without Pernilla by his side. By now he was shivering so much that he had to let go. He sank back into the freezing water. He just couldn't fight anymore. There was a ringing noise, shrill and insistent, an angry signal demanding his attention. He opened his eyes and realized that he was lying in his own bed, with Pernilla breathing evenly by his side. He reached out and groped for his phone on the bedside table. His fingers lost their grip and his phone fell to the floor. After a brief silence, it started ringing again. It sounded even louder this time. Pernilla stirred.
"Phone," she mumbled.
Her voice finally brought him back to reality. He swung his legs over the side of the bed, but when he lowered his left foot to the floor and tried to stand up, he almost lost his balance. He still hadn't gotten used to it. He bent down and grabbed his phone. He pressed it to his cheek, and immediately it was wet with tears. His voice was scratchy as he said,
"Tomas Andreasen."
Chapter 3. On the way to the car, Margit Granqvist thought about the sparse information she had been given over the phone. She had been at the breakfast table with Bertel when the call came through. Both girls were still asleep. Bertel hardly looked up from his newspaper. He knew right away that she had to go. He was used to the situation by now. Margit smiled as she pictured her husband with his thinning hair. He taught high school English and Swedish. She knew that some of her friends didn't consider him the most exciting guy around.